it's very interesting and dicey ground. The case dealt with the Attorney General's permission to detain a Saudi individual in the United States as a material witness. He was never ultimately called as a witness, and he's alleged that his being picked up and held as a material witness was not for the purpose genuinely of bringing him to court to testify, but so he could be investigated, and he's alleging his civil rights were violated.
And when, and sorry.
Go ahead, Jane.
When one's civil rights are violated, what is your burden of proof, or what is the Attorney General's burden of proof to show that this wasn't in fact the case, that he was doing exactly as he outlined?
Well, it's interesting. The way the federal courts work, when you originally file allegations in a complaint, the court has to accept them as true unless they're patently idiotic. And so the court's in a posture where it has to accept as true many of the facts that are put forward. On the other hand, not all of the facts are contested. But what you and a former attorney general are asserting is that within their prosecutorial discretion, they were essentially absolutely immune. And the Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit, which is in California and the West, basically said, no, you're not, that at best you have a qualified immunity, and that based on the place we're at in the case, we're not going to dismiss this case against you. We're going to make you defend yourself, which might mean, for example, they'd have to give a deposition or they'd have to disclose, quote, what they knew and what their motivations were. And obviously very disturbing to have these sort of invasions of the process by which an attorney general is making difficult calls on cases of this nature. On the other hand, we have a long history in this country of allowing civil suits like this to go forward. For example, when people were killed in the civil rights movement by state officials under color of law in the South, this was one of the methods by which, you know, appropriate redress occurred. So there's a balance here. I wouldn't say that this case represents something totally new, but it is a very, I think, focusing effect for all public officials who deal with these sort of terrorism cases or organized crime cases, that you have to wonder about whether you're going to be sued individually subsequently. And I know as a former prosecutor that when I was making some of these calls, you know, I thought about it, but I didn't think about it as much as I would after I read this decision.
We're talking with Steve Ryan. He's a partner at the law firm of McDermott, Will & Emery. And so how should the Obama administration be looking at this and reacting to it? Because they might get dragged into it at some point.
They're the ones who are actually defending this case,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so they have different policies, clearly, than were advocated by John Ashcroft and Mr. Yu. But nevertheless, it's the government's to defend, I guess, at this point. So what does it do for the current administration?
Well, the way this works is the government has to make an election whether it will defend the actions of the former official. And in this case, the government is defending them at this point. On the other hand, there comes a point potentially where there is a split between an administration that is not the same one. On this issue, I don't expect that split to occur. On the other hand, it's a very difficult political straddle for the Obama administration, which is in some ways through its attorney general investigating some of the acts that were done post 9/11 by the intelligence community, and at the same time wanting their officials to make good calls and not feel that they're constantly, their own liberty is at stake or their own financial future.
And so the Justice Department is defending Mr. Yu and the Attorney General?
At this point, yes. And you know, on the other hand, if you're a former official, you probably need to get your own lawyer here, too, to make sure that the arguments that are being made are the ones you'd want made in addition to the ones the government would make for you. So it's possible, by the way, for example, that you might end up having to pay legal fees. And most federal officials don't have, unless they were born wealthy, none of us got wealthy in federal service. You may get wealthy in private practice, or you may get wealthy in some other way in the business community. But really, federal officials can't afford the kind of lawyering that you need if they have to pay for it themselves. And I think that's a real conundrum. I, by the way, you know, for example, have provided federal officials either a cut rate or no rate because of this problem. But you can't do that all the time, and you can't expect that necessarily the legal community is going to provide free services to protect an attorney general and Mr. Yu, who are quite controversial. I mean, some of their decisions, people, you know, I don't think are very happy about. And, you know, so you're torn because you don't particularly believe what they did was the smartest or the most constitutional. But on the other hand, I think there's a great deal of discomfort watching them be skewered by, you know, people like Jose Padilla, who has a suit against John Yu as well.
Yeah, because as a federal official, you could be next time you're out of office.
Well, I think, by the way, when you're making these tough calls in the, you know, heads on spikes period post 9/11, you know, it's hard to recapture what the feeling was then. And I'm not defending the decision making of it. In fact, I think Mr. Yu's legal decision making, frankly, is not defendable. But if they acted in good faith and if they had a colorable understanding that what they were doing was immune or should have been immune, you know, now they're going to have to lay that before the court. And I think this is a very problematic area and deserves, frankly, dispassionate congressional oversight at a certain point to see how we're going to handle this. I don't believe in prosecuting former officials for their judgment calls, however we may disagree with them. I think, you know, that's how Argentina became Argentina, is when you have the former government charged the one before.